Hey, everybody. Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, Alex Marlowe from Breitbart.com. And then I talk about how one metric that shows that conservatives are winning the information war. And then finally, we talk about why driving makes you conservative. Oh, the left hates it when I say that. But if you own a car, I think you're more likely to be a conservative. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support The Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And come to our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. tpusa.com/SAS. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter today at tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is the amazing Alex Marlowe, who's filled in for me on this program multiple times. Breitbart.com is the place to check out all things that really matter in the country. I go to Breitbart every single day just to kind of get an idea of what is happening in the country. He also hosts Breitbart News Daily, and that is his podcast. Alex, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. Your set looks terrific.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And a lot to get into. So I want to ask you, Alex, we've been covering the raids that are happening in the country, right, by the government against the citizens right now. I want to ask a broader question, though, which is, why are Democrats not adjusting any of their strategy, their messaging, or their tactics? I mean, they see the polls. They see that people are uneasy. Why do you think that is?
I think that the reason why they're not adjusting right now is because they actually need to maintain that base. The only people who like Joe Biden at all now are people who are knee-jerk, hardcore leftists, the type of people who see $8 gasoline, and they don't see it as a problem. They see it as a benefit. The people who sees Disney grooming children into the trans cult, they see that not as a negative, but as a benefit. They don't care about blue chip stocks and where things are in the with your 401k. They've never cared about that stuff. They care about, they're willing to sacrifice money. They're willing to even sacrifice votes, so long as they can advance the culture. They think that's the long game. We're seeing it in our academia, Charlie, as you know better than anyone, with the long march through the institution just completely gutting, ravaging our schools right now. And I think that's why. I don't think Biden has any chance at appealing to anyone at all right of center. And the center has been gone for months. So his only chance is to make sure he doesn't tick off those green radicals. He doesn't tick off those people who are the LGBTQ+L. Remember, there's two L's now.
Oh, is that right?
Second L. Yeah, there's two L's. But
I do have a question. What's with the black circle now in the flag? Have you noticed this?
I don't know. That's a new one. Well, I knew
the Ukraine. They have the trans triangle that blends into the rainbow thing, but now they have a black circle in it.
Okay.
Do we have a picture of that, Connor? Is that right? I think we have it at cut 81. Is that right? Hold on. We got a flag here.
Oh, is this intersex? Is this an intersex thing?
Oh, no. Yeah, so I think it must be intersex. It's not that cut. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. I was wondering if
that's the intersex community. So that's one of the most underrepresented communities.
I got a picture.
Other than the two-spirit community. Charlie, do you find it odd that Joe Biden, who's been in public life since I think about 25 years before you were even on this planet, that it just dawned on him like 4 weeks ago that he's really into the trans stuff?
Yep, not me.
You find that like a little odd?
It's
maybe
fitting
a little disingenuous.
He's trying to, I guess you're right. You're trying to hold on to any constituency he possibly can at this point. The recent inclusion of the intersex flag within the rainbow flag is a big step forward for this community, according to intersex people.
You know, what we do sometimes, some of my friends, that whenever a new flag comes out whenever we're supposed to put out a new one. I will get a bunch of texts, new flag just dropped, like a new Kanye West or Drake album. And it's just one of my favorite things going right now, because there is a new flag that just drops there. How did Ukraine get on there? That's insane.
Yeah, it kind of, it is close. It does look like Ukraine's on there. Can we throw this up on the screen, please?
Charlie, picture if you were a gay person who actually was bullied, because that did happen in this country. Picture that that had happened to you when you were growing up and you were excited to get acknowledgement that, you know, to finally be treated equal in this country. And then now all of a sudden, like Ukraine and all this intersex stuff and the trans weirdos who've been trans for 5 minutes, they share your plight, Charlie. They really do.
It's intersectionality. That's it right. So, yeah, watching on the live stream. Here it is right there. Terrific. So basically, Alex, your answer is he has to hold on to the only base that he has.
I mean,
but don't they see the polls? They don't care about gas prices. They don't care about inflationary pressures. They don't care about the border. I mean, I have my own personal theories, but I always want to get opinions from smart people. How is it that they just they look what's happening? They say, whatever. I don't understand the political calculus there.
No, I think some of them think it's a positive with the gas prices. If you notice, of all the things he's demanding people do, he's demanding that he what was he saying yesterday? He was saying to the gas stations to lower prices now. Like he's going to demand it as if he is that level of control. And then he has his ridiculous gas tax holiday with Charlie. I looked it up for my family. We're going to save $65 over 3 months with the Biden gas tax holiday. But it is this is the magic of live radio. It happens so infrequently yet so often. Anyway, the point is that he won't drill. And why won't he drill? It's the green lobby. The green lobby is so powerful to him. He can't sacrifice any of them, even if that means the rest of the country is going to suffer and he'll get the blame.
So I want to ask another question here, which is, do you think Republicans are handling or harnessing this opportunity correctly? Because this could be a once in a generation wave where we could win in places we would never able to win otherwise, get really amazing MAGA America First people into office. Do you think Republicans are handling this correctly?
I think that what happened with them trying to cave on red flag laws, for example, and trying to buckle on gun control is an example of them not handling it well. It's very clear from my vast audience at Breitbart News and the Breitbart News Daily Show that we have and from our social pages, people don't want any compromise with Democrats right now.
Yes.
They want to ride it out. They want to wait for November. They can't wait to vote. They're going to vote almost all of them out that they can. And then maybe we can talk about what's next. But they certainly don't want any sops to the gun grabbers. And that's, we all know what red flag laws are going to lead, they're going to turn into. They're going to turn into people who don't have your political worldview getting targeted on their Second Amendment rights. And yet you got, 14 Republicans supporting it in the Senate? That's appalling to me. And that they think this is good calculus shows me they haven't learned all their lessons from the past 5 or 6 years.
I think that's exactly right. And 14 Republicans seem to never miss an opportunity to destroy the political chances and what their possible calculus is. I don't know what polling they're looking at, but you're exactly right, is that the Republican base, which is going to show up in huge numbers, by the way, the one thing that could potentially stunt that energy is to go tell them, you know what, when you give us political power, we don't care. And especially in a time, Alex, where violent crime is going up, mental health issues are going up, which means a lot more people are seeing therapists and getting antidepressant medication. Why does that matter? You can get red flagged for that. Your therapist could flag you without you knowing. Someone who doesn't like you could flag you. Former spouse could flag you. Anyone could flag you for these reasons. Meanwhile, violent crime is going up, and you might not be able to properly protect yourself and your family, and we might be seeing food and fuel shortages. We might be seeing a summer of riots. Your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, one of the things also, remember, we compromise on the boyfriend loophole or whatever, which I guess if applied accurately makes sense that it's harder core punishments if you're a spousal abuser. But what's a boyfriend these days? We just went through Me Too where, you know, who had a date with Aziz Ansari acted like that he was some sort of a predator. When then we learn, of course, he wasn't years later.
That's such a good point. Especially with this hookup culture nonsense.
With the hookup culture now. Yep. How many people have been falsely accused since Me Too? And now we're going to make compromises with these people? It makes no sense to me.
That's right. And they aren't, and it's just a good rule for life. And anything you're doing, buying a home, anything, when you're not dealing with someone negotiating good faith, walk away. It's that simple.
That's it. Good faith.
It's just a rule for life. So, Alex, I want to ask you, you're on the front lines. You talk to people all the time on your wonderful program. What's your sense of the grassroots? Do you feel as if the base is getting properly amped up for a longer-term fight? Because, you know, I've been in this for 10 years. You've been in it longer than I have. It seems that the stakes just keep getting higher and higher. Is our base prepared for that?
I think they're more prepared for it. I'm seeing that people are something that really happened that was very interesting during the pandemic is that you started to see a lot more engagement on a micro level, starting in the schools, people looking over their kids' shoulders on Zoom and realizing that there was something really horrible that was going on in this country, that the indoctrination was starting much earlier, that all of a sudden we were getting these things like CRT pushed on us, the anti-science masking was being pushed on us. And a lot of these things were happening that I do think brought people back into the fold who were trying the approach to try to punch out and just let a couple of people in Washington try to clean up the mess that we have. I think a lot of people have been brought back in at a civic level. Plus the fact that, you know, in the Trump years, it became fun to be on the right and the left became scolds pretty much simultaneously. You know, you're the party of Felicia Sanmez of the Washington Post all of a sudden, where you're just going around throwing tantrums on Twitter about your employers. Like, that doesn't bring people to your side. So when you have people, you know, the Donald Trumps of the world, the meme lords of the world who are online, who are almost all on the right these days, it's become cooler to be on the right. So I think we have a lot working for us. But I honestly, Charlie, I'll believe it when I see it. It's such a long battle and there are discouraging moments and you have to be able to keep your head up during those moments. And I want to see some resilience and I'm hoping the audience feels inspired by that.
I think that's right. And to echo that point, you know, I asked one of my, I won't call it a friend, liberal people that I know. And I asked them, I said, who on your side is in the business of persuasion and is good at it? And they admittedly said, that's really not something we care about.
Right.
I said, oh, really? They said, yeah, I mean, we have the factories of indoctrination. They didn't use that word. But essentially, they don't have to persuade. They just kind of control things. Whereas you look at our side, every hour, Alex, you and I have to make arguments. We have to be challenged. I actually think that makes for a more durable, a more resilient movement, don't you think?
Absolutely. It is the two types of mail I get the most for my radio show is number one is if my kids invade my studio or my dog invades my studio. That's number one. People always like that. Or if I talk about, you know, what I had for dinner that weekend. Number two is when I say something someone doesn't like. It's the people who are loyal in the audience, people who listen every day, who disagree with me. And I take that heat every single day, and I know you do as well. Mm-hmm. And then rarely do I get someone writing me an email saying, oh, that was a great point you made. I never get that, but that's expected. It's expected I make great points. When people really want to reach out is when you blow it, when you are not seeing something clearly.
That's true.
And the audience is so engaged and so sharp. At Breitbart and your show, Salem, has an amazing audience and super smart people. We're going to hear from people, and that does sharpen our skills. That's the opposite of what Joe Biden does. Joe Biden acts like talk radio and alternative media like Breitbart doesn't exist. You know who acts like we exist, Charlie? The Communist Party, Politburo. They're reading us. I can tell they're reading us because they basically react to us on the Global Times every day. Biden is acting like we don't exist. It's making him soft and lazy, and that's exactly why he can't get out of his stirrup and he falls off his bike.
Yeah, I just think the Democrats in some – I think there's two tracks. I think some of the Democrats are on cruise control, and they're just kind of enjoying the lifestyle. Chauffeured cars, nice title, fundraisers. There is a more dangerous track of people that really concern me, of the people that are willing to use political power, that raiding political opponents, all of that. And there's kind of a tension between the two of them. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Great commentary as always.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, everybody. As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has an amazing passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Nope, you know Mike, he's got lots of energy. He's done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll only save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop it. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help protect fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. I love Mike Lindell. I know you do too. Support him and get something comfortable in return. Call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. Or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Let's play cut 81. It shows the contempt the ruling class has for us. I was joking around with the team. I said, yeah, I saw that clip when I was in the ice bath this morning. It's true. I watch the markets as I get into 38 degree water every morning. You should try it. It'll wake you up better than a cup of coffee and quicker than a cappuccino. Play cut 81.
There is a great deal of Americans where it is uncomfortable that they're spending more, but they are not going to go under. You know, you got to stop complaining when there's so many people who literally the inflation rate means they may only have two meals instead of three. You still have your job. So I'm going to need you to calm down and back off.
I need you to calm down and back off. Who is this woman, by the way? She's some sort of economic advisor. You see, when you have a series of woke ideas, eventually the laws of nature will challenge them. Eventually, you're going to fall off your bike. Eventually, you won't be able to have these ideas stand up to the muster or the backlash of people that are suffering. The arrogance, the hubris, the lack of humility, demagogues, all of them. Let's go to CNN, cut 77.
Consumer prices went up by 7.5% year over year in January before the invasion began, and that was the fastest pace since February of 1982. It's gotten worse since then because we've seen prices for gasoline, natural gas go up. We've seen food prices go up. And so inflation was a big problem. It's gotten even bigger. Clearly, the White House is searching for solutions here. But let's sum up what we just heard, right? One, not likely to get through Congress. Two, if it gets through Congress, it's going to have a minimal impact on your wallet, right? What did we say? $2.70 every time you fill up your tank. Not a big mover. And then also, it could backfire by making demand worse. It's not going to address supply. It doesn't help the revenue situation. There's a lot of drawbacks there.
Is CNN actually doing honest journalism? Why would that be? Well, again, you can only operate for so long under this far-left, anti-reality propaganda prism. It's not possible. You can't do it. No one wants to watch it. So CNN on the edges is starting to do a little bit more reporting, and they're going to have more people watch. A legitimate, neutral news agency would be an unbelievable multi-billion dollar company right now that would hold the right accountable and hold the left accountable. It'd be incredibly lucrative. Can CNN accomplish that? Well, they've hired a bunch of radicals the last couple of years, and CNN is basically a Democrat super PAC. And now all these commentators are worried that they're going to be fired, so they're kind of moving to the middle, and they're trying to be a little bit more critical of Biden, and no one really knows what the kind of operating procedures are. What is the mission statement of CNN right now? Survive? You see, when you print all of this money and you create all this money, this is an argument I've made a couple times on this program, but it's very important. When you have cheap money policies and you have hyperinflated valuations in public markets and you have securities and equities that are far out of alignment from reality, you are then able to have the play money. You're able to have the excesses to then tolerate the super annoying apparatchiks that otherwise would have no place in a business that is operating on tight margins. So you have a series of tech companies that receive federal government PPP money. They do extraordinarily well because everybody's watching at home, watching Netflix at home or doing Zoom meetings or buying technological products or ordering Amazon boxes. And these tech companies then have the cash flows, they have the opportunity and the ability to then have 1,000 otherwise unnecessary HR department graduates from Yale and Columbia and Northwestern and Stanford who just talk about diversity, equity, inclusion all day. Adds no strategic value to the company, by the way. It doesn't make it more likely for these companies to be able to turn a better profit. It doesn't give the companies a competitive advantage to be able to innovate quicker or better. No, not at all. Instead, it just kind of silences the potential inner revolution that could be happening at their company. But now that we are headed to a recession and possibly a depression through crashflation, the crash of the economy with hyperinflated prices because dollar bills are everywhere, companies are going to start to cut back. And as companies start to cut back, who do you think is going to lose their jobs first? People like Brian Stelter. You see, Brian Stelter, he's kind of an affirmative action pick, not in the sense you might think. Not, you know, he wasn't hired because of his gender or because of his race. No, he's hired because of his lack of intelligence. They have to have somebody like that. Like, they have to have some buffoon on payroll because they say, look, we just have to factor it in. It's just, it's kind of our symbol of charity to the world is to have this person that literally no one follows Brian Stelter. No one thinks he's smart. And you just kind of keep him on TV. It's like, that's just, it's our donation to the world. This is us doing the right thing. We could go send money for hurricane relief. We could go try and stop the plight of black fathers. Our contribution to the world is we're going to employ the otherwise unemployer eunuch, Brian Stelter. But guess what? Brian Stelter very well might be fired soon. Worst ratings in 9 years. Season battled CNN anchor Brian Stelter on the brink of having Sunday morning show canceled. In addition, CNN is showing their ratings are so far down and it shows empirical evidence, a total cratering. More Democrats are watching Tucker in the younger and middle age groups versus any other cable station. And so kind of cable rating news wars are a little bit silly at times, but they're actually an objective measurement to see what are people consuming. What is the news that is actually popular? And this is a data point that I think we've contributed to the zeitgeist rather compellingly, which is podcasting. A vast majority of people who consume podcasts are under the age of 50. A vast majority of people that listen to podcasts are in their 20s or 30s. What are the most popular podcasts in the Apple News category? We've talked about this a couple times before. Is it Drag Queen Story Hour? Is it How to Make America Transgender Again? No. If you look at the top 20 podcasts, it includes podcasts like ours, Stephen Crowder, Michael Knowles, Glenn Beck, Steve Bannon, Walsh, Bongino, Daily Wire. Conservatives do extremely well. And the one thing about podcasting is that it's kind of how Facebook used to be. It's super straight up. There's no manipulating the algorithm. It's like Apple, actually, it's well known in the podcasting world, if you kind of get into this world, Apple really doesn't take their podcasting app that seriously. I mean, they have like 20 or 30 people, from what I understand, that work on it. It's not hyper-political. They don't police the speech as much as kind of a Facebook or a Twitter or Google would. They're kind of like, okay, here's your podcast. It's approved. Very good. And if you go up in the charts, it's all based on algorithm listens and subscribes. It's extremely political agnostic, at least in our experience. It's just kind of, here's the data. Here's where you are. Whatever. We're going to go work on building a new watch or whatever. It's not a priority of Apple. And that's honestly a really good thing. We're thankful for that because it hasn't been taken over by the apparatchiks. So you look at the top 20 podcasts. Remember, when you're dealing with podcasts, you're dealing with a medium that is dominated by younger Americans. But I look at the top podcasts, it goes, okay, there's NPR and there's the New York Times, but then it just goes one after the other, Shapiro and Walsh and Bongino and our program and Beck and Knowles and Bannon and Crowder. And so with a massive pace, you see how conservatives are able to compete in a free and open market of ideas. The Brookings Institution has actually come out to try to attack our podcast, to try to get it removed, saying that podcasting needs more regulation. But just like cable news ratings, this country is far more center-right than I think people recognize or realize. And this is the one thing I always tell Republicans that say, we have to pander to suburban voters that, I don't know, for whatever crazy reason, because they want gun control. Things are a lot more fluid in life than I think political commentators give them credit for, give kind of the circumstances credit for. You see, things can move, they can change, they can shift. And so what we do in the podcast space, what we do in the radio space, what we do in the live stream space, is we're constantly trying to make compelling and persuasive arguments to be able to move the Overton window. A question somebody just asked us, freedom@charliekirk.com, is a great question. Where would our country be without these conservative radio shows and podcasts? Our program, Shapiro, Walsh, Knowles, Candace Owens, Stephen Crowder. You kind of combine all of this alternative media community that is not on cable TV, but is free thinking, is able to make arguments, is able to be creative in its presentation. And it's by no means, you look at the entire gauntlet of the ones I just mentioned, the podcasts and the radio programs, none of them are caustic. They're not, I wouldn't say they're mean or slapstick or kind of shock jock. They're thoughtful pieces of work. They're thoughtful, I call them pieces of art. That's probably a step too far, but they're thoughtfully presented. Let me put it that way. They're well-researched. And so the audience themselves are saying, I don't just want to listen to the New York Times all day long. I don't just want to listen to Rachel Maddow all day long. I want to get different opinions. And this drives the left mad. And the thing I'm trying to warn people, and I've warned all the other podcasters with whatever, I'm friends with all of them. I know them all. They're all great people. Is that, hey, we all have to stick together because the next line of attack is going to be after what they consider to be the propaganda channels, to be what they consider to be the kind of issue with society. When Myra Flores won in the Rio Grande Valley in the second most Hispanic district in America, in an 84% Hispanic district, they don't blame Myra Flores. They blame the QAnon fringe platforms that influence Hispanics. Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you, they hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs with my friends. Guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com, or call 888-888-1172, 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. Use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Joe Biden is announcing they're going to invest $100 billion in public transit and take millions of cars off the road, inherently making you less free and our cities more liberal. Play cut 78.
And we're investing almost $100 billion in public transit and rail. For all the studies show that it will take millions of cars off the road and significantly reduce pollution if there's a serious transportation system available.
So I have a theory about this, and I could just imagine Media Matters writing it up, and that's fine. I believe it's not a perfect correlation and not a perfect connection, but I think it's a 90% rule. The more you drive, the more conservative you are. Just look at the truckers. I think that driving requires a form of responsibility. It requires a sense of awareness. What does it cost? Insurance. Gas prices. Where public transit, which can be nice in certain circumstances, I don't think is actually ideal. I think that public transit makes you unaware of the costs or the investment of what is required to get you from point A to point B. Where if you own a car in the suburbs or in the rural areas, you are intimately aware and invested in everything. How much does the car cost? How much does it cost to fill up? Now, when you are thinking about costs, you generally end up being a conservative. A good rule for life is the more you care about costs, the less likely you are to be a leftist. A leftist is someone who does not consciously think about what is the cost. Now, why is that? Because the mark of a mature person is someone who asks the question, what is the price? The left never asks that question. And so therefore, when you are driving, you're asking a question a lot more than you would if you're on a train and if you're on a subway. Now, that's to say that a train or a subway doesn't cost money, but it's far less and you're not as aware and it's heavily subsidized. Public rail or whatever form of transportation there might be, a bus, for example. Whereas if you own your own car, you worry about your car payment, you worry about your insurance payment. It seems as if when you have to fill up your pump, it is a conservatizing event. You know, we've always talked about on this program, conservatizing events are owning property, getting married, and having children. I would have to add a fourth as a conservatizing event. Filling up a tank of gas. Filling up a tank of gas turns someone from an ardent left-wing, woke socialist to, man, why do things cost so much? Ooh. Now you're asking the right question. You see, the more we can get young people to ask the question, what is the cost, the more likely they are to entertain and believe a conservative philosophy. You see, a conservative philosophy comes from the original perspective that things are limited, resources are limited, your time is limited. And you must make a selection of choices. Choices and the competition of choice and the allocation of resources is basically how we distill economics. It's a series of human action, and it is the chasing of scarcity of goods for the ultimate ability for human beings to live and to prosper and to enjoy such goods and services. You see, when you put a child, for example, through a college campus on debt that they can't even tell you how much they've borrowed, no cost, then go take public transportation back to their parents' home that they're not paying for, no cost, no cost. It's easy to be a socialist or a liberal with other people's money. In fact, it's incredible that people are anything but a left-winger when you are using other people's money. But the second you have to use your own money and your own time and your own sacrifice and your own energy gets put into a invisible ball and then gets transmuted into work and labor that then comes out the other side as a paycheck, and then that paycheck has to get stolen by the federal government and then has to get stolen at the gas pump, all of a sudden, that is a rather radicalizing event. I mean that in the most positive sense imaginable. But having no responsibility and making few choices and not asking what the cost is, that's desirable for some people, but actually makes you less happy. You will be a happier, more joyful person the more you ask yourself the question, what is the cost? And so for that reason, I hope everyone still owns a car because I think it creates independence, it embraces a spirit of freedom, and yes, I think keeps America more conservative than not. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.